Welcome to the Modern Jewish Girl podcast. I'm Jenna, lawyer by training, writer and teacher at heart. I was a secular girl from New York who happened to be Jewish. Then a trip to Israel changed everything as I discovered the depth and relevance of the Torah for the first time. I created this podcast to share deep, beautiful Torah wisdom in an accessible way and explore how we can integrate this timeless wisdom into our modern lives. As a wife and mother with my own personal and spiritual struggles, I know how hard it can be to show up every day with joy, faith, inner peace, strength, and clarity. I share bits and pieces of my own journey in hopes that it will help you on yours. I really want to thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating, a review, and share the show with family and friends. Okay, here we go. Hi, welcome back. So with Pesach very rapidly approaching, I meant to get this episode out earlier, forgive me, but this is really the best time because we're all getting ready and cleaning and cooking and driving around. And so hopefully listening to this podcast will be a little bit of bundling, something you enjoy listening to with a task that might not be as enjoyable. I'm hoping that we can share some ideas here that will really uplift us, inspire us, get us into the mindset for Pesach. I've been thinking a lot about Pesach, learning about Pesach a lot this year. And so these are just a couple of ideas that I wanted to share that have inspired me personally. And some of the things we've spoken about before on the podcast, but I really feel like every year we change the way we process and think about these ideas change. So I want to dedicate today's episode to the Refuah Shleima, the complete and speedy recovery of my father, Peretz Nachum Ben Hortense. He should have a complete, speedy recovery. The Haggadah states that in every generation, a person is obligated to view himself as if he personally has left Egypt. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe takes it even further. He says, we have an obligation to feel as if we personally have been taken out of Egypt, not just on Passover, but every single day. So what does this mean? As an aside, I'm working off of the Kol Menachem Haggadah. It's a Chabad, a Lubavitch Haggadah. It's so beautiful. I love it. It's one of my favorite Haggadahs. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that we're talking about this obligation in both a literal sense, but also a spiritual sense. And the meaning of liberation from Egypt is really the attainment of freedom from obstacles and limitations which we encounter on our way to self-fulfillment, the things that hinder us from reaching our destiny and from accomplishing what we must accomplish in this life. And this is why we need to feel every single day that God is taking us out of Egypt, because Egypt, the Hebrew word for Egypt, Mitzrayim, represents narrow straits. And we're talking about the process of God helping us move from our own limitations and the things that are holding us back into a more expansive, productive, positive, freer place. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, of course, this is why the freedom that we experienced yesterday is not going to hold good for the position that we're in today. And so too, the freedom that we'll attain today is not going to prove enough for tomorrow, because ideally, as Jewish people, we're supposed to be working on ourselves and growing every single day, working with Hashem to overcome, again, our limitations. So these limitations can be things that are out of our control, obstacles that are placed in our way, which of course are from Hashem. And then there are also things that we kind of impose upon ourselves, which we're going to speak more about in a few minutes. But either way, we have to understand that we are obligated to put in our effort to work on freeing ourselves, but without Hashem's help, we can't accomplish anything. We always need siyata dishmaya. We always need help from Hashem, help from heaven, and it's very important that we pray for this. I sometimes forget, but when I'm working on something, whatever it is, I really try as part of my effort to pray for help from God, to put in my physical effort, but then I also have to pray that God helps me, because with His help, we really can do anything. So this is the idea behind Hashem taking us out of Egypt on a spiritual level every single day. We're working together. We're co-creators. But we have to remember, without Him, we can't do anything. So the Exodus process is really both historical and ongoing. God took us out of slavery and bondage, and he continues to help us overcome our own personal Egypts. But I want to just take a quick second before we speak about personal Egypts to say, what is the point of this freedom? Rabbi Abraham Twersky has a great Haggadah, which I love as well, called From Bondage to Freedom. And he makes the point in the introduction that when we were taken out of Egypt as a nation, it really began the birth process of the Jewish nation as a spiritual nation who believes in and is connected to one God. And the point of being taken out of Egypt wasn't just so that we could do whatever we wanted. It was so that we could receive the Torah and keep the mitzvot so that we could be a spiritual people in this world. We had a mission that God was preparing us for. So he says that this is a really opportune time to look at our lives and see what obstacles or limitations are holding us back from achieving our potential as a, not just as a person in general, but as a spiritual person, as a Jew with a connection to Hashem and hopefully a connection to his Torah. So just a few examples: addictions, addiction to the phone, wasting time, bad habits. Paro, Pharaoh, represents the animal drive. Only following our physical drives and really suffocating the soul, where freedom is about controlling our body to be in alignment with our essential identity as souls. And I've recently been listening to Fagi Bloomstein. For those who know her, she has a great class on Tanya, which was written by the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And you can get it on Spotify. It's really great. It's also live on Instagram. And she explains that the first chapter of the Tanya speaks about how every person really has these two drives. We have the animal soul, which is very physical. And then we have the neshama, the soul that wants to connect to God and do spiritual things. And it's okay to have both drives, but we have to remember which one is in the driver's seat. And it should be our soul that's guiding our body and uplifting the physicality we engage in. So freedom is really working toward this state. And something that I wanted to focus on, because this is a personal Egypt that I have and that I'm working on, is self-imposed mental limitations. And that's why I called this episode Pesach and the Power of the Mind, because so much of our potential and our happiness really rests in our thoughts, the headspace that we live in every single day. My teacher, Yehuda Skolshevsky, said a great idea. She said that there's like chametz thoughts versus matzah thoughts. So chametz thoughts are those thoughts that are not productive. They're negative. They're brooding. They're just ruminating and rehashing and we're just going in circles. Whereas matzah thoughts are positive. They're productive. So it's very interesting to watch your mind and to see your thoughts and to be able to kind of try to shift from a chametz thought to a matzah thought. So for an example, something that we all might be thinking before Pesach is, oh, this is too much. But then something I learned recently, actually from Erica Needleman, who I had on the last podcast in her Adultify course that I ended up doing with her, is like, we can just, even just to watch our thoughts and then just to question it. Like, is this really too much? Or if we think, I can't do this. Really? I can't? What if I just tried? Even just questioning the thought really takes away its power, and suddenly we're not that thought anymore. We're the person observing the thought and talking to the thought. So I think a really loaded one is how we view Pesach and our relationship with Pesach, and I think it's really a constant avoda, like a constant effort to really try to view it as what it really is, which is like an amazing positive opportunity, as opposed to like this, you know, work-filled thing that we just kind of have to get through. I think another mental limitation that many of us, including myself, suffer from is trusting other people as opposed to putting our trust in God. Emunah is faith in God, which is a very big theme in Pesach, which we'll speak about in a second. But bitachon, trusting God, is really like the practical application of that. And how often are we in a situation where we begin to get nervous and anxious and we're waiting for that one to call us back or for this one to help us? And at the end of the day, it's Hashem who's in charge. He's the one running the show. As the Haggadah emphasizes, he personally took us out of Egypt, not a messenger, not an angel, God personally. And we have to know and we have to believe this is a big part of Pesach, that he's intimately involved in our lives. And he loves us and he wants what's good for us. This is actually one of the biggest mitzvahs, if not the biggest mitzvah of the Seder, is really to imbue in our children, if we're blessed to have children, and in ourselves, our emuna in Hashem, our faith in Hashem, that he took us out of Egypt, that he continues to help us overcome our own limitations. The Seder time is actually a really amazing time to pray for help to be freed from our own personal Egypts, to really pray for anything and everything. Every year I try to write a list of things that I want to be freed from, and I pray for it at the Seder, and it's a night where there's a lot of blessing coming down. We have to take advantage and ask God to help us in the areas that we need help. I want to share another idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I think is so powerful. It really speaks to the power of the mind and shifting our perspective to a freer place, and it, I think, is very relevant to the time that we're in now with all the struggles that we're facing as a nation. He says, the mitzvah to eat marer, to eat bitter herbs, is not a mitzvah in its own right, but one that is contingent on eating the Paschal lamb, which represents liberation. In other words, the marer is an accompaniment to the Paschal lamb. He says, quote, if the Paschal lamb represents liberation and marer represents life's difficulties, then the message implicit in the above law is that our difficulties should never be perceived in isolation. They are nothing but an accompaniment to enhance our subsequent feelings of liberation and happiness, just like the marer was a flavor enhancer to the Paschal lamb. This is an amazing idea. He's saying, you might feel pain right now. You might be experiencing something bitter, but you are in the process of liberation. It's not that your pain will be followed by gain. You're actually gaining right now, because the misery, the bitterness, is all part of one big package, which is intended for no other purpose than to uplift and redeem you. So he's saying, even though redemption hasn't come yet, personally, nationally, we recognize that the bitterness, which precedes liberation, is part of the process. And so this actually sweetens the bitterness itself, meaning we have to go through the suffering in order to have redemption. We have to have challenges in order to grow, both personally and as a nation. And so if we know this, if we know that redemption is inevitably going to follow, then it does. It sweetens the bitterness because we know that there's a positive purpose to it. He says, quote, we need to keep in mind that setbacks and solutions are not two separate entities, but one. The setbacks and hurdles are sent to us by God for no other reason than to make the subsequent relief more profound and personally meaningful. It's so true. If you think about anything in your life, how much more did you appreciate the salvation, the recovery, when you had to go through a difficult challenge to get there? As somebody who went through secondary infertility, I always say that when we had our second child, it was so much more meaningful because of all of the hurdles that we had to go through to get there. This is such a paradigm shift. He says, keeping in sharp focus that as we suffer, we are in the midst of growth and redemption. It will help to sweeten and neutralize the pain. So with the current situation now with Israel and the Jewish people, we can keep this in mind and hopefully understanding that redemption is on the way. This is a part of the process, and hopefully in understanding that, it will really sweeten the bitterness that we're suffering now as a nation. And again, this can be applied to our own personal struggles as well. On Pesach, we really relive the Exodus from Egypt, and it's a time that's auspicious for achieving freedom from our own personal limitations as well, many of them self-imposed mental limitations. On Seder night, we can pray to Hashem to make us and our families closer to Him, and that we shouldn't be enslaved to the things holding us back from achieving our potential. And we should know that the bitterness in our lives is part of a greater liberation process, and therefore it can sweeten the bitterness that we experience personally and as a nation. Wishing you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a good, healthy, happy, kosher Pesach, and we'll speak again soon, God willing. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.